Thank you, Richard. Richard mentioned the football. I'll mention the rugby. You had me on the edge of my seat last week, I think it was. Almost got there. But it's great to be back. I got this text recently from a friend, and this is how it went. He said, imagine you won the lottery, or instead of getting 30 million or so, you get 640,000 every day for the rest of your life. But here's the deal. You have to spend it that day, or you don't get the 640,000 the next day. And so imagine for a minute, give it to your wife. So imagine for a minute, you spend it on yourself and your wife and your family and all the rest of it, but the next day there's another 640,000. And it goes on. And the key is you can't roll it over to the next day. And the other thing you can't do is you can't transfer it into another account what you don't spend. You get it, you use it that day, and then it's gone. And then the next day, you get another 640,000. But also, another part of the deal is the banker can call it in at any time and say, that's it over. That would be a tremendous thing to get, wouldn't it? But the text went on like this. It said, but actually, you are a winner. And you do get that. Only it's not pounds, it's seconds. Every single day of your life, you get 640,000 seconds to live. What a wonderful gift it is to have the gift of life. And we've been reminded of that this morning with Lucy. You know, like all our children, you can't imagine life before they arrive. And nothing prepares you for when they do arrive. Because they don't just come with all the amazing faculties that we've got, that we take for granted, you know, your eyes, you know, these built-in cameras that work for all these years without batteries, you know. Your heart's the same, you know. You think of your car, you need a new carburetor every so often. You know, you get it for 70 or so years. And your hands, which are, I mean, I was an aircraft engineer. And looking at the mechanical side of the human body is astonishing, absolutely astonishing. To look at the bone structure and the whole skeleton of the human being, how we can stand straight. The only creature on earth is able to walk the way we do and play football sometimes, you know, and rugby and soccer. And, you know, I seen a guy on TV yesterday, he caught a cricket ball. You know, did you see that one? He stood on the top of a chair and just caught a cricket ball that was knocked right out into the stand. How did he do that? Eye coordination, hand coordination. Amazing. You know, we are amazing creatures. You know, but then on top of that, Lucy has a character. And that's a much more complex thing, isn't it? They actually come with built-in character. I know I have four girls and three granddaughters and two grandsons, and they've all got big characters, even though they're only that size. And that is an even greater mystery. Absolutely astonishing. And we get 640,000 seconds every day to enjoy that. Or to do what it is we do with it. And tomorrow morning, today's gone. The 640,000 have gone, and we start again tomorrow. I just find it astonishing. The question is, what do you do with it? I have a friend years ago and when I lived in France, and he did a study. He was in his 70s. He did a study. He wanted to find out what he actually did, how he spent his life, what he did with his life. So he calculated what he did every day, and then calculated that in hours, and then in years, and worked out how many years he spent doing this, how many years. For instance, you know, you spend about a third of your day in bed, you know. They recommend about 8 hours, you know, if you're lucky. But that works out about 23 years of your life. 23 years, a third of your life you spend in bed. Get a good bed. I hope there's a bed salesman here today. 10%. You know, and he did that with school. And actually, I got quite shocked. You know, he discovered that we don't spend as many years as we think in school. We only spend about 3 years of our life calculated in hours. Think about it. You take off holidays and weekends and, you know, you think, no. When I was at school, it seemed like an eternity, you know. And work as well. You know, you think work's an awful lot longer, but you calculate it in hours. And it works out about 10 years of your life. You won't believe me. Do the sums. It's quite interesting. I'll not mention the bathroom. It's different for guys and girls, can I say? And holidays. And do you know that at the moment, the average person in the UK watches TV about 24 hours a week. The average, which is about 10 years of your life, if you calculate it that way. It's astonishing when you think about it, isn't it? And there's a guy in the Old Testament in the Bible, and he decided to do this as well. But he looked at the seasons of his life. And it's quite interesting. You read about it in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, where a king called Solomon, and he decides to look at the seasons of his life. And he says this, and believe me, Solomon knew how to live. He had 800 relationships with women, so that's... For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, he says. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter bones and a time to gather stones. Sorry, scatter stones and gather stones. That's for Belfast, by the way. A time to embrace and a time to turn away. A time to search and a time to quit searching. A time to keep and a time to throw away. My wife quotes that to me often when she looks at our garage. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be quiet and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. So what do people really get for all their hard work? No. What's it all about, he's saying, all this time that we've given, this life that we're given. Solomon's trying to make sense of it all. And he says, I have seen the burden God has placed on us all, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time or appropriate. There's a time for everything. He has planted eternity in the human heart. And even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So I concluded, there's nothing better than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. You've got it from the Bible. There's nothing better than to be happy and enjoy yourselves for as long as you can. And people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are gifts from God. People don't see Christianity that way, should they? Don't very much, very often. They think it's boring. You have to go to church, whether you like it or not. That's Christianity. No, God's much bigger than that. Life itself is a great gift. Every good gift, the Bible says, comes from the Father of lights, in whom there's no shadow of turning. He gives generously, abundantly. We've been singing about how good our God is. And he gives us children and grandchildren and friends and family and sunshine. Look, there you go. And Solomon says, enjoy it. It's a gift. And know that whatever God does is final. Nothing can be added to it or taken from it. God's purpose is that people should fear him. What is happening now has happened before. And what will happen in the future has happened before, because God makes the same things happen over and over again. It's quite interesting, isn't it, when you begin to look at these things from the Bible. There's an interesting Psalm, Psalm 90. I thought Richard was going to read it this morning, but this was written 4,000 years ago by Moses. And here's what Moses says about God. Lord, throughout all generations, you have been our refuge or our home. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from beginning to end, you are God. Or from eternity to eternity, you are God. We've heard about the political turmoil that's going on in our world today. I mean, I don't know if you've watched the news this week, but it's pretty depressing, wasn't it? Mozambique. I'll not mention the B word, But there's so much stuff there, what's happened in New Zealand. And all kinds of things are going on. And yet in the midst of all that, Moses can say to us, from eternity to eternity, you are God. And you are our refuge throughout all generations. So what do I do with that information? Here's what he says later in the same Psalm, verse 12. He says, so Lord, teach us to
count our days or to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. We've thought about time and the gift of life, but rarely do we ever think about eternity. Because when you think about eternity, this life that we've got is just a little drop in the ocean. This little dot on a page that we have, you know, 70 years or 80 years if you go to the gym, maybe. And it's a wonderful gift, but it's preparation for eternity, is what the Bible tells us. Because human beings are much more complex than just their bodies. You know, our bodies are incredible, incredible pieces of engineering, but we're deeper than that. I mean, I have a good friend, and his little boy, Reuben, was born with no limbs. There's no legs, no arms, just a little stump on one side. And he's about 7 years of age now, and obviously they had a huge decision to make when they found out. They've also had a little girl after that, and she's perfectly normal. But when you meet Reuben, you suddenly discover human beings are not just about the body, because Reuben has a brain which is phenomenal. He knows all the number plates, you know, in the car park in his church. I had been arguing one night with a friend who was arguing with me that there was no God and that God was sadistic and, you know, all the suffering and all the rest of it, and that Christianity will have disappeared in 10 years' time. Tell Moses that. And I walked into this church, and Reuben met me. You know, he crawls about the floor, and he shouted at me, "Hi, Sammy," he says, "you know, are you still driving your Audi 3? And he quoted me the number plate. And then he said to me, he said, "The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And I thought of that verse in Scripture, "Out of the mouth of babes, I have ordained praise," is what Jesus said when he was going to Calvary. You know, from eternity to eternity, you are God. I heard a story one time about a man in Sydney in Australia called Arthur Stacey. And Arthur was illiterate. This happened at the turn of the last century. There was a Great Depression in Australia. He ended up going to the war, the First World War, and he was injured, so he had to come back home. He was from a very poor family. His family sold alcohol illegally, and he grew up in that whole scene, violent. He ended up in prison. And one day, after he got out of prison, he was walking through Sydney. He walked into this church that were doing a soup kitchen, you know, and so he got something to eat. And he just heard a man share about the love of God, and he became a Christian. You read about this on the internet if you look up Arthur Stacey. And he couldn't read or write, but he would go to church, and all his food, his spiritual food, he depended on church and the sermons. And one Sunday, the preacher was preaching on a verse from Isaiah where it talks about the God of eternity. And as he walked out the door, there was a stick of chalk apparently he grabbed on the way out, and he just scribbled on the ground. And it actually turned out to be the word eternity. Now, he couldn't write, so one of his friends said, "I thought you couldn't write, Arthur." He said, "No, I can't write." He said, "Well, you've just written the word eternity." And so Arthur decided for the next 26 years of his life to go all over Sydney. He got up early in the morning and he became a graffiti artist. And he just wrote the word eternity on pavements, on walls, all over the place. At first, the police, he actually got arrested a couple of times. But the papers got onto it and they ran a story called Mr. Eternity. And it actually ran for, I think, about 13 years or something like that. Sometimes he would go over to Melbourne and do the same thing just to surprise them. You know, a bit like Banksy. You know, apparently there's a Banksy's turned up in Northern Ireland. I was reading that this morning in the news. I'll have to go and see it. But he became quite a celebrity in all the local newspapers. Mr. Eternity strikes again. And his grandson became an architect. And actually, in downtown Sydney, one of the squares, there is a brass plaque with the word eternity written on it from Mr. Eternity. And I don't know if you remember the Millennium celebrations in the year 2000, whenever the fireworks display came up from Sydney Harbour Bridge, the word eternity actually was flashed right across the whole world. It's like God is saying, please do not forget eternity. This is just the training school. We're in our apprenticeship. What we do here affects eternity. When I learned to be an aircraft fitter and then did aircraft engineering. I had to spend 4 years as an apprenticeship, and at times it was tough going, especially the first year, standing at a bench, filing a piece of metal to 0.02 inch accuracy. It wasn't exciting. Sometimes I actually fell asleep in the morning doing it. And then, the guy would come along and hit it with a hammer and just say, do it again. Why? Because when you build airplanes, lives are at stake. There's no room for error. Incidentally, I'll not tell you about airplanes or you'll never get in one again. That was training for building things that affected people's lives. We have been given a gift of life. Here's the astonishing thing about little Lucy. And I've seen this with one of my grandchildren who was born at 26 weeks. You can see right through her skin. And I have a picture of my hand beside her, and she wasn't much bigger than my hand. Now she's 8 years of age, running about on the trampoline, swinging on the bars and doing all kinds of things. What a wonderful gift of life. The astonishing thing is this, is they're here for eternity. It's not like other products that you can throw away and renew, trade them in. You can't even do that. They're here for eternity. God has given us a wonderful gift. And it's not just about the body. You've also got a mind. An incredible thing called this mind. It helps you understand the universe. Think about it, This little piece of stuff that's in here, and yet you can understand so much about life, so much about our universe, so much about science, so much about people, and you can grasp so much of that. And then you have a soul. My wife and my second daughter, they run a thing called Soul Saturdays in Northern Ireland, and this was because my second daughter, who works for the tourist board and has hundreds of friends, was discovering that many of her friends were having mental health issues. It's an epidemic at the moment. Because if you take God out of life, where's the hope? Where's the hope? What do you replace him with? Did you notice this week when they were showing you pictures of Mozambique? There was one picture that caught my eye. There was 7 or 8 men standing where a church should have stood. And it was completely blown away, wrecked in ruins, and they still stood there and they sang praises to God. And you say, well, where was their faith? The church is gone. Why did they not ask, why did God do this, blah, blah, blah? All that kind of stuff that you hear. No, they stood and they still had their faith and they still had hope, just like Moses, in a God of eternity, because their faith wasn't in the building. Their faith was in a resurrected Jesus Christ who says, I am the resurrection and the life. Even if you die, I can give you life. And rose from the dead to prove it to us. Astonishing. And my wife and second daughter, Carolyn, she decided, we're going to run days where we get people help with their physical side of things. So they brought in a fitness trainer and a doctor. And the next part of the day, they have folk that talk about looking for signs of mental health issues. A professional, and they do that. And then the third part of the day is, what about your soul? That's why they're calling it Soul Saturdays. Maybe the issue isn't physical. Maybe the issue isn't mental. Maybe the issue is spiritual. Maybe it's your soul. Jesus said one time, what good is it if you win the whole world, the lottery, the everything, if you lose your soul? What is this soul? Well, it's the real you. It's the real you. When it comes to Christianity, more than anything else, it's about your heart. And when I say heart, I'm not talking about this little organ in here that pumps the blood around me. I'm talking about the real me, the real you, the thing that your emotions, your affections, your identity, your personality, your character, all of those things. This little girl today that we have celebrated has come with all of that. She's the whole package. And she will ask these questions. Why am I here? Where am I going? Who am I? Tell you a funny story in Ulster during the Troubles. There was a guy who went for a walk one winter's night, and it was a nice starry night, and he stood at this farm gate, and he was asking himself these questions. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? And a Land Rover, police Land Rover drew up beside him and said to him, the policeman got out and said to him, who are you? Why are you here? Where are you going? And the guy says, I was just asking myself the same question. And believe it or not, he was from a certain part of Belfast, so he wasn't going to cooperate with the police. So they started arguing. You know what I mean? So they started arguing. And as they were arguing, an army jeep drove up. And a soldier got out and he walked over and said, "What are you arguing about?" And he turned to the guy and he says, "Who are you? Why are you here? Where are you going?" He says, "That's what we're arguing about." But those are the big questions. And Christianity, more than anything else, is about your heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? Sometimes you can't even understand yourself. Why did I do that? Why did I say that? We've all been there. Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's the bad news. Another way of putting it is the Bible says we're all born imperfect. We're all born in sin. We've got this thing that just, I don't know what it is. Even the smallest of us, and I seen my little grandson yesterday stealing more chocolates out of the chocolate box and not asking anybody and running into the garage and shutting the door behind him and eating the chocolate. Why do we do that, you know? He'd just been given chocolate before that, but he wanted more. And that's the way we are. And the Bible just tells it as it is. That's the reality. You know that in your own heart. You know yourself. And Jesus, when he was alive on earth, knew the heart of man. He knew that people were following him for what they could get out of it. He said that on certain occasions. They want this, they want that, but they're not interested in the bigger picture. But here's the good news. The Bible also says that God can give you a new heart. He can renew your heart. He can restore you. Because Christianity is all about the heart. You see, it's not about your money. It's not about the building. God wants a relationship with you because our God is a relational God. He's Father, Son, and Spirit. And Jesus said even at one occasion, "Father, I want you to love them with the same love that you loved me with before the foundation of the world." He's a relational God. He's not like other gods. People tell me sometimes, "Well, there's lots of people believe in God, but it's not the same God." The God I want to talk to you about this morning is the God creator, is the God who's given us the gift of life and all these incredible faculties that we have and able to comprehend and love. Because the Bible says God is love. And what is life without love? What is family without love? And it's really about love. Isn't it amazing that when they discovered that manuscript in Pompeii, I'd love to be near the day the archaeologist discovered God is and was waiting to find out what the next word was. And you could have put lots of words in there, couldn't you? And it just said, God is love. And he loves you and he loves me. And that's why Jesus came. For God so loved the world, he sent his son. He gave his son. That whoever, wherever, whenever, however, I would say, come to him. I heard of a guy becoming a Christian one time as he was falling off his horse. He wasn't sure he was going to make it, so he repented on the way down and asked Jesus into his heart. He survived to tell the story, obviously. God loves us and he wants an eternal relationship with us. That's why we're here. That's why he's given us the gift of life. And he can renew this heart. And he can wash us clean. And he can get rid of the guilt and all the stuff that spoils our lives and ruins our lives and destroys relationships. Because that's the kind of God he is. And he can give us a new heart and a new start. Just like the 640,000 seconds we get every day, we get a new batch tomorrow. God is the God of the second chance and the third chance. And he can give you a new start today. Yesterday's gone, as the song goes. But you've got the rest of your life to live. And God would love you to live that life with him because he's so much to show you. If he put what we see in our world today together, what's it going to be like in eternity? I just can't wait in many ways. Because it's going to be awesome, this great God that we have. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will become a member of God's community, God's family. I didn't say that. It's the Bible says that. And that's why Jesus came. The Bible says when the fullness of time had come, when it was just the right time, and God knows all about time, God sent the Son, born of a woman. Why? So that you and I could become part of this great community, this great family that spans thousands of years and is bigger than the Coca-Cola family. You know, go anywhere in the world, you'll find there are people who look up to the heavens for their help in God the Creator. There's an interesting example in the city of Philippi in Greece, where years ago, Paul the Apostle, who interestingly was against Christianity and changed his mind, he met this group of women who were praying on a beach to God, but they didn't know very much about, in fact, they knew nothing about Jesus and how to have this relationship with God through Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And the Bible says that Lydia opened her heart to what Paul said. That's the secret. Opening your heart. God's not interested in all the rest of the stuff. He doesn't need it. But he wants your love. Can I just encourage you this morning to consider these things in the light of eternity? Eternity is coming. We're all heading in the same direction. And what we decide today will determine our eternity. But the good news is, you can decide. It's your choice. Because love cannot be forced upon us. My oldest daughter, who's a beautiful girl, of course, got a letter one time, and she came stomping out of her room, a letter from her boyfriend, and she was furious. She says, "I'm never going to speak to him ever again." And her sister said, "Well, what's wrong?" She said, "He called me a germ." And one of the sisters grabbed the letter and looked at it. And he says, "You silly idiot. He says you're a gem." God thinks you're a gem. And he does love you. And that's why Jesus came. So that the relationship would be there. Can I say to you kindly? It's worth it. I've tried it. I've tasted it. And I can say, taste and see that the Lord is good. Thank you for listening. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because you care. We thank you for the gift of life and for the people that are in our lives, Lord. We thank you for little Lucy. And we thank you for all the children represented here today. And we, Lord, we pray you'll watch over them. We know that you love children in particular because you say that if anyone harms one of these little ones, it would be better if they had never been born. So you take this seriously, Lord. And as a church and as a community, we pray that we'll be a good example and encouragement to the children that grow up in our midst, that we'll show them God's love, that we'll be channels of your love, Lord. And we do pray for our land and the many broken homes and the many broken hearts. But we thank you that you said, Lord Jesus, that you've come to heal the brokenhearted. And only you can really do that. So we commit ourselves to you today, Lord. We thank you for our friends who have joined us all the way from Oban. Bless them. Keep them safe on their way home, Lord. And we pray you'll bless their families also. We commend this day to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.